This morning I want to talk to you about waking up. Awakening. There is a tremendous need for awakening in America today. And I suggest to you that's true of the church as well. In Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 14, we read, "So he says, awake you that sleep and rise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but be wise. You need to redeem the time because the days we are in are evil." Isn't that interesting? That's written by Paul to the Ephesians. But it could have been written today, could it not? In Romans, the 13th chapter, in verse 11, it says, "It is time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we believed. The night is nearly over and the day is at hand. So let us throw off the works of darkness and lay aside the deeds of darkness and put us on the weapons of light. Let us walk honestly, as in open day of night, not in violence or drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but clothe yourselves with Jesus Christ and put a stop to gratifying the evil desires that lurk in your lower nature." In Romans 15 and verse 4, "Whatever was written in the scriptures in days gone by was written for our instruction." We're going to look at Isaiah here in just a minute. "For our instruction, so that through patient endurance and through the encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to our hope." Did you catch that? Through the encouragement drawn from the scriptures. You know, this is why we only use the Bible. We don't use pop psychology. We don't use the wisdom of the politicians. We don't use tradition. We rely upon the Bible. So don't listen to me, listen to God. Listen to how he speaks to us through his scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, "Now these things happened in our ancestors are illustrations of the way God works. And we were recorded for our benefit as a warning who are the heirs of the ages that have gone before us." Our classes on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night have had to do mostly with understanding how God works and through whom God works. It's kind of interesting. Our longest-running class is on the role of women. And as a matter of fact, tonight we're going to continue our discussion of Mary before Jesus was born. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. And Isaiah is an example of three awakenings that can help us learn. Isaiah. So we start out with Isaiah 51, beginning with verse 9. "Awake, awake. Put on your strength, on the arm of the Lord. Awake us in the ancient days, in the generations of long ago. Was it not you, God, who cut Egypt to pieces and pierced the monster of evil? Was it not you, God, who dried up the Red Sea and made a way for the redeemed to pass?" You know, kind of interesting, in cross-referencing this, I ran across Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, in the third chapter and the second verse, says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. But God, we knew them in our day." In our time. make it then known. See, what Habakkuk's saying is, I don't see God working today. God, I want a miracle now. I want to see something. Oh my. Isn't that true of us? We see a problem and we want God to produce such a dramatic override of what's happening that there is absolutely no doubt of God's role. But you know what that does? That wipes out faith. That wipes out faith. It puts all of what we are doing on the basis of what we can actually see and perceive and understand. And we don't understand that God is different than we are. And neither did Habakkuk. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." See, I don't understand why God does certain things. I don't understand why God allows certain things. Why is that? Because I'm human. And I don't think the way God thinks. I want things that God knows are not important. My attitudes are shaped by the people around me. And God's thoughts are independent of that. And God's time is different than our time. You hear that? Let me say that again. God's time is different than our time. Have you ever been as foolish as I have? Say, "God, I want patience and I want it now." Just think about that for a minute. We want immediate, instant gratification of whatever our problem is. And we can't see the future. One of Garth Brooks' songs that I enjoy very much is the song titled, "I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." And he talks about this girl that he was in love with in high school and how much he wanted God to bless them and enable them to be together. And later at a reunion, the married Garth sees her again and it ain't the same. Thank God for unanswered prayer. Sometimes I have asked for things that would have been massively wrong. Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, beginning with verse 1, "The Lord's hand is not shortened so that he cannot save, or his ear that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. So he does not listen. Your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with wrongdoing. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue mutters wickedness." What do we expect of God? See, God will not violate our free moral choice. And he will not honor sin. So what do we expect God to do? We dig a hole and we want God to dig us out of it. It's kind of interesting to me right now. There's a song on the country and western thing that is a guy that says, "Lord, I only pray to you when I'm in trouble." And I think the reason the song has become so popular is because there's so many people that say, "Yeah, that's me." It's all the only time I ask God for something is when I have a need or when I'm in trouble or when something has happened that I need help with. That's the only time I talk to God. We need to wake up to the importance of not allowing our selfish desires to interfere with our relationship to God. So yeah, Isaiah becomes aware of God's empowerment. But he also becomes aware of God's personal repentance. Listen to what Isaiah says. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw there was no man to do justice and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Isaiah realized the importance of repentance. And I've tried over the last month to hit this point over and over and over. Repentance is thinking differently. And so what Isaiah is saying is, there's not going to be justice unless I learn to think differently. And God's not going to answer prayers unless we learn to think differently. We quote the passage, repent and be baptized, every one of you. But did you notice that repentance was the first thing to say in that admonition in Acts 2:38? We have to learn to think differently. We need to awaken ourselves. And this is a struggle for all of us. It's a struggle for me. Romans 2:21 says, you who teach others, do you not teach yourself? Let me tell you something. You may not get anything out of my classes or my lessons, but I'll tell you, I do. That's one thing about being a teacher is the kids may not learn anything. The person who teaches you may not learn anything, but you learn. If you teach against stealing, do you steal? If one says you should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? As it is written, God is blasphemed because of you. Boy, it's a struggle. Encouraging people to think differently if you don't think differently. And when we're dealing with kids, grown-up kids, we have to learn to think differently to get them to think differently. I spent an hour on the phone with Glenn Langston yesterday. He wanted me to say hello to everybody. He wanted to thank Julie especially for putting our material on the web in the form, I guess, of the recorded lessons. And Ann was driving. I'm glad Glenn wasn't. He's blind. But Ann said, that means so much to me. Every day I listen to one of those lessons that Julie puts on through the cassette. I guess Carl is the one that makes it go. In the process of that, we talked about this question of what happens with our kids. Can we get them to think differently? We're talking adult kids here. He's got a son that has rejected God. And he said, I can't think the way he thinks. And I said, well, I can. I've been there. We need to understand the importance of repentance. And Isaiah reflects on that. So 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but train yourself to be godly. Train yourself. See, becoming the kind of person that God wants you to be, thinking differently is within your power. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how old you are. We need to learn to think differently. Make our mind follow the teachings that Jesus has given in his word. Because if we think the way the world thinks, how are we going to change anybody? Remember Luke 13, 34, Jesus is speaking, looking at the city of Jerusalem. And he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones that were sent to it. How often will I have gathered you children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Are we willing? Are we willing to think differently? Willing to look at the things that God is doing in our lives and the doors that he is opening? So Isaiah's second awakening is a personal repentance, and we need to continually work on thinking differently, training ourselves to be different than what we see around us. And the third thing Isaiah saw was an awakening of confidential expectation. Isaiah 59 verse 1, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, and his ear is not numbed that he cannot hear." See, Isaiah is a picture of a broken people. In Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 9, Isaiah writes, "They are a rebellious people, lying children, unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the preachers, 'Do not prophesy to us what is right. Listen to us, listen to this, speak to us smooth things.'" What does the world want to hear today? When you look at the major religious speakers in our culture today, what are they speaking? Is it not smooth things, the things people want to hear? You know, if we didn't insist upon the use of the Bible, if we were willing to do pop psychology and all of that, we could fill this building. But as long as I'm around, you're not going to hear smooth things. You're not going to hear the polished things that people want to hear. We have to awaken to the need that is present among ourselves and in our culture. So Acts 3 and verse 19, "Repent that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Does God not answer your prayers the way you want him to? Do you feel isolated from God? We need to awaken to the nature of God and to what is the lesson of the past with God. And we can expect God, if we will do that, to work in us. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more than we can ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and to Jesus Christ through all generations." Let me tell you something, folks. If we will awaken ourselves individually and collectively, if the church as a whole will get away from the smooth things that are so much a part of our culture today, God will work things out. God will work things out. I've had people say to me, "Well, what's going to happen to the church at M51? If you and Gibson and Hoyt and Marcus and so forth, if they're not here anymore, I don't know. But God will work it out. God's work does not depend upon us. Not individually and not collectively. and God will work in your life. But he's not going to force solutions upon you. He didn't force solutions on Israel. He was always there when they were willing to be awakened. And that's what Isaiah deals with in this passage. The passages are in your bulletin. Let me encourage you to read through those. And to think yourself, how can I change the way I think? And how can I open myself to God and become more effective in being the kind of person God calls me to be? And God will work in us. We see that happen over and over and over and over and over. Would you bow with me in a closing prayer? Father, help us awaken ourselves. Help us learn to think the way you want us to think. Help us not to be intimidated by what's across the street, or what's in our town, or what's in our nation. We know, God, your patience is long, and that sometimes your solutions are far away time-wise. But God, help us have the kind of strength to let you work in our lives and to think in a way that enables us to be your tool for good. Started here in Dowagiac and spreading throughout this nation and throughout the world. Lord, we need your help in dealing with the wars, with the violence, with the moral collapse of our country. We need to think the way you think and be disturbed by the things you're disturbed by. And God, forgive us if we have been asleep individually and collectively to what your thinking is and what you want our thinking to be about. Forgive us, Father. Help us to do better. Change the way we think. Bless our activities and the things that we try to do to serve you. For we ask all this in Christ's name. Let's stand and sing a closing song.